So what is tonight's chapter about? It is picturing a Christian who has decided to cross the Jordan, who has decided it's time to get serious about living the Christian life, the victorious Christian life, and they've begun to fight battles for God. But they're tired of fighting and they stop fighting. And they stop expelling, as we'll see. So beginning verse 1, 13, Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth. And then he lists a long list of land, which I won't read because I will stumble over many of the names. Verse 6, And all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Meshrephamain and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and to the half tribe of Manasseh. Verse 13, Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Geshurites, nor the Maacathites. But the Geshurites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. So there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I pray that you'd have your will in our hearts tonight. I pray that every believer who hears this message is willing to cross the Jordan and fight to live the victorious life for you, the promised land, and vows to stay there and keep fighting until Jesus comes or takes us home. So teach us tonight and grow us. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So just to kind of summarize, we kind of skipped over 10, 11, and 12, which is just a long listing of cities that were taken. But in chapter 10, a miracle took place that has never happened ever again in history. Notice verse 13 of chapter 10. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. What a miracle. And then chapter 11, verse 20. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle. So God actually worked in the hearts of these Gentile kings so that they would all come together and form an alliance and attack Israel as a group, which actually saved Israel a lot of time. So rather than having to attack each city individually, they all came together and said, let's all fight Israel as one. So they were able to wipe them out as one instead of one at a time. And then chapters 12, verse 7, these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan on the west. And down in verse 24 of chapter 12, the king of Tirzah won. And then at the end of the chapter, verse, all the kings 30 and 1. So in the past 5 years, as we're walking through Joshua, we just jumped 5 years to chapter 13. Israel took 31 cities, 31 kings. Great victories have been won. Many cities have been taken. Every battle was a victory. And they even had this amazing miracle where God made it very clear he was with Israel. But we get to chapter 13. It's only been 5 years, but by now, Joshua's almost 90. And God says to him, you're old and stricken in years. And yet there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. A Christian's work is never done. And, you know, we meet Christians all the time that just sit back on their laurels and say, well, I did this. Or my parents did this. But that doesn't matter for today. We're still supposed to be serving today. It doesn't matter what your parents did or what you did 10 years ago. What are you doing now? And Paul understood this greatly. In Philippians 3, if you turn there, verse 13, Paul understood that you're never done. You've never reached this pinnacle until you're 100% like Jesus, and that won't happen until you leave the earth. But notice Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." When Paul wrote Philippians, he was already more than halfway through his missionary journeys in planting churches. If anybody could sit back and say, "Look what I've done, I'm going to take a break," it would have been Paul. But that wasn't Paul, was it? He says, "It doesn't matter what I've done in the past. What matters is I'm going to keep pressing, I'm going to keep serving until I leave this earth." And he ends up in chains. He ends up being transported to Rome. Some shipwrecks along the way. A couple of miracles along the way. But he finally ends up in Rome. What does he do? Plants a church in Rome, the city that's going to eventually execute him. And God says to Joshua, "You're not done. Israel's not done. You're old, but you're not done. There remaineth yet very much land." And then he even lists it there in verses 2 to 5. But then in verse 6, look what he says. "All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Misrepothmaim and the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel." So what's he saying? He's saying, "I haven't left you. I haven't stopped helping you fight. I haven't stopped helping you win each battle. It's Israel that stopped fighting. God says, if you'll keep fighting, I'll keep driving them out. And you and I, if we'll keep fighting, God will keep driving them out." And that's verse 13. "Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not." This was the beginning of trouble, wasn't it? When they said, we won't kill this one, this city. We won't expel them. Look what it says at the end of the verse. "They dwelt among Israel until this day." This was just the beginning of trouble. Look at, and let's see, 1563. Just show you some examples. Chapter 15, verse 63. "As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Israel at Jerusalem unto this day." Chapter 16, verse 10. "And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve unto tribute." 17:13. "Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxen strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out." 18, verse 3. "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you?" And then chapter 23, verse 12. "Else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you." When we stop fighting, and when we stop expelling, the trouble begins. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. Such a great beginning. 31 cities. Wow. And they won every battle. The city of Ai was the only one that they lost, and that was because of the sin of Achan. But after that, they just victory, 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 victory. What a shame. We can't stop expelling, amen? And we definitely cannot stop fighting. Let's go and see the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 6:14. First of all, we can't stop expelling. It says they expelled not there in chapter 13. And what do we need to keep doing? We've got to keep expelling. Unless anyone can stand up and say, "You know what, I don't need to, I'm just like Jesus. There's nothing else that God needs to expel out of my Christian life." We all know that's not true, don't we? We're not there yet. God still needs to work on us. He still has things to accomplish in our Christian walk. So 2 Corinthians 6:14, what does it say? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Never stop expelling. As the Holy Spirit points things out in our Christian lives, we've got to keep pushing it out with the Holy Spirit's help. Look at Ephesians 5:11, and we'll see this as well. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So this pictures a Christian who has stopped expelling things out of the Christian life that need removed. As the Holy Spirit points them out, they've been fighting, they've been expelling, but they stop. They step back and say, you know, I've done a lot for God. Well, it's not enough. Amen? And they stop fighting, which is what Israel did. Rather than take this city, they said, we're just going to make you our slaves. Then we don't have to fight a battle against you. You're just going to become our servants instead. Now, the problem with that was God said, you got to kill them all. Otherwise, they're going to, as we just read, they're going to be thorns in your eyes and scourges in your sides. They're going to intermingle, and you're going to learn their ways. And before you know it, you're going to be worshiping false gods. That's exactly what happened. Read the book of Judges. If there's any book in the Old Testament that can be a bit on the depressing side, it would be the book of Judges. Because just failure after failure of not expelling. But we can't stop fighting either. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:12. This is a very important truth for Christians. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Remember 2 weeks ago, we looked in 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure. There was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. God kept that thorn there to keep me humble, to keep me reliant, to keep me reliant on God's power and God's strength. But he says, wherefore, 1 Corinthians 10:12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. Never get to that point where you think, you know, I don't need to fight anymore. I don't need to expel anymore. We need to keep expelling, keep growing, keep learning. And notice Hebrews 6, 1. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. He's saying it's good that you've learned these doctrines. It's good that you're grounded in your faith, but you got to go on unto what? Perfection. If anybody's reached perfection, good. But if you haven't, you can't stop fighting and you can't stop expelling. God's going to keep perfecting us. And I think a lot of times if you go to 1 Peter 5:10, what happens is if we stop fighting, we stop expelling, then God has to come in and bring in other things to perfect us. Because we've stopped expelling and fighting, then God has to take on his perfecting work. Notice 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you what? Perfect. He's constantly perfecting us, just like we saw with Paul 2 weeks ago. He's constantly working in our lives to refine us. Amen? To conform us. 3 weeks ago, conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And so God says to us, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. You haven't arrived. There's still more cities to take, still more battles to fight. Don't stop expelling. Don't stop fighting. Keep at it. And you know, I love the next chapter next week. After this lecture from Joshua, this rebuke from God, Caleb says, who's also almost 90 years old, I'm not done fighting. You promised me this mountain. I might be almost 90 years old, but I'm going to go take it. because God's still with me and I'm still willing to fight until my dying day. And that's exactly what he did. So don't stop. Amen? There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Be like Paul, forgetting those things which are behind. It doesn't matter what you've already done for Christ. God knows about it, and if you're going to get rewarded, praise God. But what matters is today and tomorrow. Keep fighting, keep expelling, keep growing, keep becoming more and more like Jesus. And when Peter, if you go to 2 Peter 3:18, when he finished his epistle, 2 Peter 3:18, look what he said. The last thing he said in his last epistle to Christians was, grow. Amen? 2 Peter 3, grow. Keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep growing. If you're not growing, you're shrinking. That's how it works in a Christian life. It's either backward or forward. It's not middle. You can't just stop and say, "That's I'm going to sit on the fence." There is no sitting on the fence. You're either going forward or you're not. And you're going backward. Israel said, "You know what? We're tired of fighting. We're tired of our swords have had a lot of blood on them. Our arms are tired from all the fighting. Let's just stop fighting and let's make them slaves." And that became the very downfall of Israel. Was they didn't keep taking the land that God had already promised. And as we saw, if you'll go, 11:20, chapter 12, I'll give the land to you. If you'll just go keep fighting, then I'll keep fighting with you. Oh, sorry, chapter 13, verse 6. Them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. If you'll keep fighting, I'll keep helping you win. So it wasn't that they were losing battles. It's that they got tired of fighting battles. And we as Christians got to watch out for that. As God said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll fight with you. You're one of my soldiers. Let's go. But we can't stop. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this great lesson from Joshua and Israel. And pray, Lord, that we would take it on board. We would be constantly coming to you through your word and asking the Holy Spirit to show us the next city to be taken, the next group to be expelled out of our Christian walk, that we might keep growing, keep becoming more like our Savior. Thank you for speaking.